Hello and welcome to this week's Therapy for Me. And if I sound like I'm operating in a different register altogether, it's because I am, sadly, suffering with a bit of a cold and flu-y kind of thing. A consequence, I believe, of last weekend at the guitar show. But it's been a bit of a full-on week, so it could be any point in time. But I think that's where it stemmed from. So you'll have to cope with me sounding a bit like this for the morning. I might improve as I get going, but who knows? Anyway, let's have a little bit of that twangy guitar and get started.
Monday.
So the guitar show last weekend was brilliant. It was definitely the best one that Jason's put on, and I had a great time. I think I've mentioned in the past what I do when I'm there, and I may even have mentioned it last week. So if I am repeating, I apologise, because I can't remember how I finished last week. But I go and compare a live stage. So we have a load of live acts through the day. A lot of them are artists that come with some of the brands that come, and then there's a couple of booked artists for the end of the day. And we have a turnaround whereby we have the artists get about 40 minutes, and we start the acts on the hour. They finish about 25 to 22, the end of the hour, and then we have 20 minutes to change the stage over and get it ready for the next artist. Now, some of them are just plugging the acoustic guitars or maybe a guitar and a backing track, and they're relatively straightforward. You can easily change those over very quickly. But then you've got 3 and 4 piece bands, so getting them on stage, getting the drums mic'd up, getting all the instruments mic'd up, yada yada yada, can take a little bit longer. So there's a great team of people who get involved in this. I do whatever I can to help, though I'm not one of the sound engineers, so I'm kind of trying not to get in the way more than anything. So making sure everybody's in the right space at the right time, and then introductions and any other bits that need doing, whether it's on stage interviews or whatever it needs doing. So that's what I'm kind of there for. And that went all fine. And the live stage was really, really busy both days, which was great. I managed to go for a run on the Sunday morning and do the one thing I've been going to do for ages, which was I slipped on black ice and fell over. And I've been waiting to slip on black ice for about the last 3 years. Fortunately, it was 7 o'clock in the morning, so nobody saw me. And fortunately, because I'd slowed down, it was on one of those kind of bobbled bits of concrete that you get when you come to the edge of the road, which I'm assuming are for people who've got issues with sight, and that's just a representation of where the edge of the curb is. But that was completely iced over, and fortunately I'd slowed down. So I did that kind of falling in three stages thing, that kind of, I want to say old person's fall, but I fell very slowly, if that makes sense. So I didn't hurt myself, but it was just really embarrassing. So I did that, which I've been planning on doing for ages. But no, show was amazing. And the bit I want to talk about was, the acts were all fantastic, including Chantelle McGregor, who's been on the podcast, Jason and I do. She was great. There was a guy called Blair Dunlop, who I'd never heard of before, who's a BBC Folk Award winner, who was a singer-songwriter. He wasn't really a guitarist in that respect, though he was a great guitar player, but had come as a singer-songwriter. And he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. His songs were amazing. And he did this really, really stunning 40-minute set. So I'm going to point you in the direction of Blair Dunlop. There was another guy called Daniel Kemish. He was great as well. But Blair was really, really fantastic. So I'll put a link on. He's from Chesterfield. We got chatting about football. And in fact, he's going to be on the 942 podcast. Hopefully, I think we're going to talk to him this week. So I'm really looking forward to that, because he was really entertaining as well. So if you get a chance, check out that. If you are a guitarist and you're in the UK and you've never been to the guitar show, then you might want to think about that as well. And if you run, and I know a number of you do, don't slip on black ice.
Tuesday.
So Monday night was hard work. And I know we're talking about Tuesday, but I used Monday to talk about the guitar show, so I'm now using Tuesday to talk about Monday. Stick with it, it'll make sense. Monday night was hard work because as a Sheffield United supporter, I went to see us play Arsenal. Arsenal were tremendous. We were 3-0 down inside 15 minutes. It could have been 10. It could have been 12. As it turned out, it was 6 in the end. We did improve as the game went on in terms of our ability to stop the ball going in the net quite as frequently. We didn't necessarily improve an enormous amount anywhere else, but we did actually start to, you know. Now, whether Arsenal just got bored of scoring, though I didn't necessarily see that, or whether we just got a little bit better at making it harder for them, that's certainly something that could have happened. But the thing I wanted to talk about was I'm very annoyed. And actually, it kind of happened today because this is when I noticed it. I'm very annoyed at Jamie Carragher, which means I'm annoyed in pundits in general. So I'm not going to necessarily call out Carragher, though I am going to call out Carragher because it was him. And if you don't know who Jamie Carragher is, he's an ex-player. He's one of this group of ex-players that have turned into pundits. And he's the we've got that outspoken punditry thing going on. So we're saying things for effect because it will get you space on various social platforms and it will get your name banded around. And he said that our performance last night was the worst performance ever by a Premier League side, and that it was, I don't think if he said embarrassing, he used a term that basically said it was, you know, it was awful, and that we should be ashamed. Now, the reason why I'm going to have a go at Jamie Carragher is not necessarily that is or isn't true, because I think in this instance it doesn't really matter. If you're a supporter of that team, I don't need that. I went and I watched and I stayed to the end and I applauded the team at the end. Now, I know why we're getting beaten to the extent that we're getting beaten, and I'll come onto that in a second. But I stayed and I applauded, and I, as a fan of that team, yeah, I'm still really, really hurting because I'm going to watch my football team week in, week out, and we are getting beaten by a similar scoreline most weeks. So for a pundit of any description to come on and think that as a football lover, the best thing to do there is to kick that particular team, I've got a big problem with. I've got a big, big problem with. That's not how, when you support somebody, because I don't have the luxury of going and supporting somebody else because the going's not great at the moment. So for you to just do that thing because it makes you seem big or it seems clever or it'll get you some coverage, I've got an issue with. What you should be doing, Jamie, if you're listening, and I'm quite happy to talk to you about this if you are listening, though I'm guessing you're not, is what you should be doing is talking about how broken football is, how broken the Premier League is. Because if the same three teams keep going up and coming down, and it's a very good chance that the three teams that come down this year from the Premier League are relegated are the same three teams that went up last year, and there's a very good chance that the three teams that come up from the Championship this year will be the same three teams that get relegated last year and possibly get relegated next year. And if the gulf between the two divisions is so great, so it's actually virtually impossible to move up, to make that transition, and if you have a situation where one player in Declan Rice is worth more than our entire squad, which is pretty much the case, then there's something very badly wrong with the setup. So if you're going to get angry at anybody, get angry at the Premier League. Get angry about the fact that the game is broken, because we're just the example of everything that's wrong with the Premier League at the moment, and it wasn't even this bad the last time we came up. So what's the point? Literally, what's the point? We might as well stay in the Championship, enjoy the football that we play, be competitive with the teams around us. Yeah, we might be at the top end of it, but at least we weren't beating sides 6-0 and 7-0 every week. And then just leave everybody up there to it. So that's what you should be talking about, Jamie. You should be talking about why results like that happen, why that situation has been allowed to occur, rather than have a go at an individual team just because you think it makes you look clever.
Wednesday.
So I've got a bit of an update, but I've also got a bit of a thank you. And I thank you that I don't make out often enough at all. I have a number of people who are patrons of TFM, and that means that they get involved in a conversation on a weekly basis about whatever I've banged on about for that particular week. And I don't thank them enough, and I don't respond enough, and I should. And the only reason why I don't is that ridiculously simple reason of just time and getting embroiled in the things I managed to get myself embroiled in. But that's not an excuse. It might be a reason, but it's not an excuse. There is no excuse. I should be doing those things, because I do read all those comments, and they do make me smile, and they do make me laugh, and they do make me stop and think. And so for every time, you know, that Helen or Christine or Melissa or Kerry or Nicole or Shane or Ivor make a comment, and I know I'm missing other people out, then thank you. And it's really, really appreciated. And I mean, Christine and Nicole last week gave me a bit of advice on framing a jigsaw, which I might try and look at this weekend, because I'm actually at home and around. Melissa just sent me a lovely message a couple of days ago, just saying thank you and how much, you know, she was enjoying certain bits of the podcast stuff that I get involved in. And Kerry came back just to thank me for posting the Jack Black clip of him covering Hit Me Baby One More Time, which is the bit of the update that I've got, because the full version of the song is now out, and it's great. It's really, really great. And he's done a little 2-minute video of him at the premiere of Kung Fu Panda 4, because that's where the song comes from. It's from the end credits of Kung Fu Panda 4. And it's a joyous little clip. Absolutely joyous. And Jack and Kyle, who are Tenacious D, are something to be cherished. They really are. And somebody put in one of the comments that Jack and Kyle, they've unlocked the secret to having a great life. And you know what? That's really, really, really accurate. When you watch them and what they do what they do remarkably well. They're remarkably professional. But they're also having a blast. So if they've unlocked it, go and have a look and see. Have a look at the expression on their faces. Have a look at them doing what they do, because they have unlocked it. And then we all need to work out how to unlock it in our own special way. But part of unlocking it for me is saying thank you to all those people. So stop now and do something with Tenacious D while I have 2 seconds just mentally thanking everybody that I need to thank.
Thursday.
I called this section Kiverton Park. I always put a little note down for myself at various points through the week, just to remind myself of the things I'm going to talk about. And Kiverton Park was the name of this thing, or this was the reference word I put down, which is going to mean nothing to most of you. But it talks about an unexpected train journey, shall we say. And I'm going to look at it as an unexpected train journey. What I'm not going to look at it as a 5-hour delay. I'm going to look at it as an unexpected train journey, which actually is quite a, for me, is quite a positive way of framing it, actually. So I set off to go down to London, and which was yesterday, because I'm a day behind, obviously. You know that she worked it out so far. And I drove to Doncaster to pick up a train. I've explained this before. I drive to a number of places to get trains to London, depending on what I can get. And obviously, I drove to Doncaster because it gets me on Hull trains, go Hull trains. And we got as far as Retford, which is the first stop, and we stopped. We came to as I would have expected to do, because people need to get off and get on, but we stopped indefinitely. And I sat looking at Retford station, Retford platform, for about 90 minutes before they finally said, look, we ain't going any further. There's a signals problem around Grantham. We're not going any further. You're going to have to get off and work out what you need to do from here. Your journey will be refunded, but have a nice afternoon in Retford. And they turned the train around and they took it back. So I could have gone back to Doncaster and picked the car up and gone home, but it was an event I needed to be at, so I didn't have that choice. And the obvious option to get me to London at that point in time, because it turned out I could have waited in Retford for 3 hours until they started running again, and then got a train and got to London at the same time I kind of got there in the end. But I didn't know that at that point. So I took the only option available to me, which was to take the Retford to Sheffield train from the low level and then get the Sheffield to London train. Now, there's a reason why I don't go from Sheffield to London that often, and that's because the journey takes 2 hours and 10 minutes. And if I go from Doncaster, which is a similar drive away from home than going to Retford Station, it takes 1 hour and 35. The significance is that I used to go, when I was born and raised in Retford, which I was, I used to go on the Retford-Sheffield train all the time. It was one of those trips that is teens that we did. It was the place that we went to go and, you know, the two places we went were Doncaster and Sheffield, and we went to Sheffield more often. And it means that all those stations and that route is imprinted on my brain, even though it probably was 30 years since I will have taken that train journey. Thinking about when I finally, in fact, probably more, when I finally left home after university, it's probably 30 years since plus years since I took that journey. But it all came flooding back in terms of all those stations, in terms of that route, in terms of how long it took, in terms of the countryside. Yes, it was a much nicer train than the old absolute bouncers that we used to go across on. But it was still nice to do that journey again. And as much as I didn't want to be doing that journey, and actually I was in the middle of really properly coming down with this cold, so I was quite shivery and what have you, and you know, I would have preferred my 1 hour 35 journey to the one I eventually had. That bit of it, that reminiscing on that particular leg of the journey, was actually quite nice. I can't tell you enjoyed the journey from London to Sheffield in the same way, because the train was really overcrowded and I really didn't feel great at that point. But I will shout out the first bit of the journey, which was fab.
Friday.
Now, I know what you're thinking. You are thinking, why has he not mentioned the budget? And I was getting there. I listened to the budget, actually, on my way to catch the train. So just for reference, the train which I caught on Wednesday, which I talked about in the Thursday section, and I'm now referring to the journey to the train on Friday, all happened on Wednesday. But I listened to the budget as I was driving to catch the train. To me, it falls in two halves. One, I thought some bits of it were quite clever. I thought he did as much as he could do. It certainly wasn't a pre-election budget that they would have hoped for. But I thought it set a few interesting traps for the opposition party, and certainly means that whatever happens for whoever's in power after the next election, it's going to be really, really, really hard because there is no money. And the growth forecasts for the next 4 to 5 years are not good. So whatever comes next is hard, and he managed to steal a Labour policy and the non-dom, scrapping the non-dom status, that will have left them with a £2.5 to £3 billion hole in their numbers, and a couple of other things in there were very Labour policies. They were doorstep friendly, and they were very Labour policies. I'm not convinced the headline 2p off national insurance is going to hit the spot necessarily. But I do think that the policy around child benefit, about raising that threshold, will be popular with a lot of doorstep people, because that's an unfair way of doing child benefit, or for making a decision about who does or doesn't get child benefit. It's a flawed policy, that one. So I think there's some bits in there that were clever. The bit that really annoyed me was the delivery. He's not somebody who delivers very well, and all the jokes, the jokes and the little digs at the opposition party that were meant to be clever, that were clearly written by a 22-year-old spad who thought he was being very clever, or she, but I would hazard a guess it was probably a man listening to what those lines actually were, because they weren't very nuanced they just weren't very good, to be honest. A joke that's a fat-shaming joke of the leader of the opposition, really? Is that how we deal with things? A joke about the deputy leader of the opposition about capital gains tax on the one property she's ever sold versus the fact that the Chancellor owns any number of private apartments or rental, which we don't know, really? So, yes, aiming to be clever, badly delivered, didn't work, didn't like that at all. Certainly not from him. He's not that kind of politician. So that was all a bit embarrassing. It was actually a bit embarrassing. It was a little bit tawdry. It was a little bit embarrassing, to be honest. But it brings me to something I said at the start of the year, which was that I firmly believe that the election is going to be in May. And whilst this budget probably doesn't point to that now happening, I still do think that a May election is the Conservative Party is the right thing to do. I think if they could have done more of a giveaway, I think they were absolutely setting up for a May election. No doubt in my mind they were setting up for that. I think the reason why they still should is because I just don't see it getting any better. The numbers haven't shifted since the budget. In fact, if anything, they've got worse for them. So what they've done in the budget hasn't shifted hearts and minds, and it's not going to because people have made their mind up. The thing now is to lose less badly. You need to hang on to as many MPs as you can hang on to, because the future, if you don't, for the Conservative Party, is really gloomy. If you come out the other side of an election with 210, 220, 230 MPs, there's a very good chance you could be a sensible grown-up party for a while longer. If you come out the next election with 120, 130, 150 MPs, they're going to be the nutters. They're absolutely going to be the nutters. So you are going to lurch, and that party is going to lurch to the right quite significantly. And you're going to find a very populist, very right-wing leader spouting nonsense, which might appeal to your base, but it's not going to get you elected anytime soon. There's a reason why we have a history of electing essentially slightly centre-right governments. And if you want to get elected as a Labour Party, history would suggest that you have to move into that centre-right ground, which, let's be honest, is what Blair did, and to a certain extent it's what Starmer's doing. So for me, the reason why you go May is, A, you need to lose as well as you can. You're going to lose. You might as well lose as well as you can, which means you retain as many MPs as you can. And B, without going in May, you're going to have to go through the May elections. If you get pounded in the May elections, that's going to create all manner of uncertainty in that party, and it's going to be a moment of jeopardy for Starmer. You're then potentially going to play all of this out in public as the governing party. So all that nonsense that often happens when you're in opposition and you can do a little bit quieter, you're going to play out in public, which means there potentially could be a challenge. There'll certainly be a lot of noise around it. You could lose council seats to Reform, which is only going to make that case in the public's mind that Reform is the place to go instead of the Conservative Party even stronger. That potentially forces the narrative of the governing party further to the right, again, whilst you're in government, whilst everybody's looking, while there's a big spotlight shining on it. So I still believe, even though it looks like it won't happen now, actually what they should do is call the election now. Now, I want them to because I want rid of them. But the fact of the matter is, I don't see how it gets any better. The economy might get a little better. You might get a stab at another fiscal event. But your big fiscal event, what you're doing is you're pulling the rabbit out of the hat over an 18-month period very slowly. Well, it doesn't work. There's no wow moment. So even if you can do a little bit of something, even if you could take a penny off income tax in say September or October, because the economy's just about stuttered along to give you the fiscal headroom to do it, even if you could do that, it's not going to alter the outcome. So actually, I'm back with where I was, which is, I don't know if it'll now happen, but there was a lot of good sense in going in May. Right, that's me. I'm going to go. I'm going to try and recover my voice and have a cup of tea. Hope you're well. Hope you've had a good week. I've had an interesting week. But I hope you had a good week, and I'll speak to you next time.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.